morning, everybody. Welcome this morning and happy Easter. This is a great day, and we're going to celebrate today. So if you would stand up and help us start our celebration. person beside of you, if you will, this morning as you have a seat.
Good morning, Cornerstone. Oh, come on, it's Easter, people. Good morning, Cornerstone. I like it. How'd you like the Duck Dynasty song? Wasn't that what it was? Happy, happy, happy. I thought that, oh, it wouldn't? Oh. Man, this is a great day. The Lord is alive. The Lord is alive. Thank you. Samantha. Let's give it up for Samantha up here. She suffered a terrible, terrible accident. If you don't know, we're going to talk about the dangers this morning. A Zumba. There's Zumba signs everywhere, and I personally don't ascribe to Zumba. For just this reason, I might break something. Because you, huh? Oh, you didn't have to say that. So this is the football version of Zumba. So thank you for your dedication. And speaking of dedication, No. Zumba, not zombie. Stop watching. What is it? Walking Dead? Yeah. Get that out of your mind. Who all had breakfast this morning? Why don't you stand up and give it up for Mr. Randy Kegley and his team of fine chefs. Man can cook sausage and eggs is a man. No quiche. Let's see. What we got going on? We got the water walk. Has everybody got their water bottles filling them up full of money? My daughter's cutting slots in her bottle because she can't get the quarters through the top, so she's getting it in there. April 14th, they'll be having a water walk to raise awareness for those without clean water. That's when you'll also bring in your money-filled water bottle. So if you don't have one, go get a bottle of water, drink it, and start filling it up with money to bring back. This is for people who don't have bottled water, tap water, spring water. They've got dirty water. We're trying to get them some clean water. So mark your calendar for that. It's 5:30 p.m. on April 14th. This week is our first Wednesday. Mike will be sharing about leadership and discipleship. We'll take communion together. Come at 7. We've usually got the devout few. You know, we take up these seats right here. So I'd like to see more people come to that. It's a great time of learning and teaching and going deeper in your walk with Christ. So come with that, and we'll give you some little flatbread and grape juice too. So show up for that. April 21st. How many people heard of Avalon? Well, we've got two. I guess that there's four in Avalon, right? We got half of Avalon here leading church April 21st. Jeremy and Amy Richardson, or Amy's McBride Richardson, Amy grew up here going to Cliffview Church, lived in Cliffview community. So they're coming here to lead worship, and it'll be a great morning. So I hope you come for that. And then if you didn't get your family picture taken for the photo directory, we'll be taking pictures again in a few weeks. So make sure you do that. And thank you for being here this morning. Guys, thank you. Thank you, Samantha.
Before we continue in worship, let's pray. Father God, we just come into this place this morning humbled and honored, Lord, that you would call us your own. We just thank you for the cross. We thank you for what this day means, Lord. Even though this is one day out of 365, Lord, we just help us. Please help us to realize that every day Christ died for us, and we thank you for that. Father, as we continue to sing your praises this morning, we pray that you would be honored and lifted high on everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name, amen. If you would, go ahead and stand up. As we continue to worship this morning, if you get tired and want to sit down, that's okay. Whatever you're comfortable with. But Christ the Lord is risen today. He is risen in me. He is risen in you. Let's worship him this morning. Thank you.
raise your voice, the King has overcome. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus is alive, he's alive. say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He
raise this life up from the dead.
Father God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for taking us as sinners, Lord, and calling us your own. Father, we just worship you this morning and lift you up. What an awesome privilege it is to come and declare you as Lord. And I just pray that on this day, around this world, Father, not just in these four walls, but everyone who seeks you will find and understand the greatest gift we could ever imagine, Lord. We just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Like our video this morning, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Didn't the band just, man, what an incredible morning of worship here at Cornerstone. We're glad you joined us. I can already tell this ain't going to work. So you saw me in a coat. You know it's bad when the preacher takes off his coat. We're going to be here a while. Nah. We're glad that you're here with us at Cornerstone this morning. Man, we're talking about how Jesus does change everything. And when you really think about the resurrection, it is the central moment, the central point of history that changes everything. It's why we're here. It's why we have a church. It's why we exist. It proves so many things, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, several months ago, back in November, we were able to go on a short mission trip with the church up to New Jersey to help after Hurricane Sandy. And on our way back as a family, we were able to stop at Gettysburg. We kind of took a little detour and took the family to Gettysburg. And how many of y'all have been to Gettysburg before? Neat, neat place. A lot of y'all, so you know what I'm talking about. Back, I think, in like 2008, they opened a brand new big visitor center museum. And so we were able to stop. And when you go in the big visitor center, the first, you know, they've got the museum there, so you're looking at everything. Then they take you in and you watch this really neat movie that Morgan Freeman narrates. So you can imagine, he kind of just starts painting the picture of what happened, and he puts you in the, you know, from the different perspectives and vantage points, and he's explaining everything. And then after that movie, you go up, and there's this, they call it a cyclorama, a 360-degree picture. Incredibly huge picture, and they've got all the props around it, and it's massive, and you're sitting here looking around this painting of what happened, and as you're looking at this painting, they've got this dramatic presentation with lights and sounds and talking about the battle and what happened here, and there's something that happens when you go somewhere like that and you see everything. What happens is that all of a sudden, instead of being dry history, and you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't know. We may have some history majors or people who liked history in school, but for the rest of us, history can be a little boring sometimes. And so when you're reading the words on a page, you're sitting there reading, yeah. But when you go and you actually see and you put yourself right in the middle of it, all of a sudden it comes to life. All of a sudden, you know what you're reading about, and you know what they're talking about. And so when somebody talks about Pickett's Charge or Cemetery Ridge, it's like all of a sudden, hey, I know what they're talking about now because I stood in that place and I looked and I saw and I understand. And what happens so many times with God's Word, I'm afraid, is that when we allow the words of the Bible to become dry and lifeless, we read them as nothing more than just a dry historical account. And most of us will never have the opportunity to go into Israel and stand where Jesus stood and see what Jesus saw. But we have the opportunity through His Word to experience the Bible in a new, fresh way. And as we read it, and as we understand what happened at the resurrection, what happens is all of a sudden the Bible comes to life. All of a sudden, we realize that the Bible is a collection of divinely inspired writers who have written God's Word down so that we can understand, so that we can see it, so we can understand it, so we can feel it, so we can experience it. So my goal this morning is to get you to realize how the life, death, and the burial and resurrection of Jesus, how it changes everything. And without Jesus, we have no hope, we have no purpose, we have no meaning for our lives. So sometimes, you know, when we read about it, I think we need to kind of slow down and really think about the implications. What does it mean? What really happened, and why does it affect us? Now, we can see shows like movies like The Passion of the Christ, and it kind of brings it to life a little bit. And the Bible miniseries, I don't know if you guys have been watching it, but tonight is the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection. And when we watch those movies, it kind of brings it to life and allows it to understand it. But what I want to do this morning is take us and let us look at it from maybe another perspective, from the perspective of the people who were really there. You know, when we start thinking about the crucifixion from different perspectives, it really helps us to kind of enter into the story. So what I want you to do this morning is, as I talk about some of these different people in the story, I want you to think, who do I relate to? Which one of these emotions, which one do I connect with? And, you know, I think the reality is you'll see that we probably connect with more than we realize. Let's start with Judas. Well, a tough place to start. The Bible miniseries last week, it was kind of interesting how they portrayed Judas. They portrayed him as torn, as not sure what to do, as maybe weak, as, you know, he was before Caiaphas, the high priest, and he was, Caiaphas was manipulative and evil and trying to, you know, well, you need to do what's best for the Jews and for Israel. And we don't want Rome to come in. And you saw Judas kind of torn. That was an interesting portrayal of him. But what we learn from Judas is that even though he followed Jesus, even though he did, I mean, he was there. He did so many good things with Jesus. But just because he was going through the motions doesn't mean he really knew Jesus. Doesn't really mean he trusted Jesus. It doesn't mean he really believed in Jesus. In fact, he was looking for a political savior, somebody that would help overthrow the Roman government. So he was disappointed when that didn't happen. And so what we see Judas, he loved money. He loved, he had his own agenda. But we see that he simply betrayed Jesus. Far too often, I think we do the same thing. We go through the motions. We say we love Jesus. We even serve in his name. But the really question is, do you really know him? Do you truly know him? Or are you just coming to church and going through the motions for what you get out of it? That's the picture of Judas we have. We can look at Peter. Peter, you know, who was so bold to say, I'm going to follow you no matter what. And yet, as soon as the time got tough, he was the first to deny Jesus. And immediately, I don't know that man. And you see that he was sorrowful. We see that he was disappointed. We see that he had these grand expectations, but he just never was able to live up to his own expectations. We could look at the rest of the disciples who just took off in fear when Jesus was crucified. They were all running. They were all scared. We could look at the guards and the religious rulers and see how they were jealous of Jesus and how they were cruel to him and how they mocked him and how they beat him. And every person who hears this message about Jesus, you have to put yourself in the place of those religious leaders and say, who is this Jesus? Is he really who he says he is? We have to ask ourselves that. We can look at Pilate and put ourselves in his situation. And what we see in Pilate is just cowardice. You know, he was just afraid to make the right choice. Instead of doing what was right, he did what is easy. And how often do we do the same thing? We know what's right, but yet we get in a situation and we take the easy way out. We could look at the crowd and how confused they were. And in 1 week's time, they went from idolizing Jesus, shouting Hosanna, to a week later shouting, crucify him, crucify him. We could look at the first thief on the cross and how he mocked Jesus. And how he said, hey, if you get me out of this mess, then I'll worship you. You know, won't you get, you're supposed to be God. Won't you get us both down from here? Then we'll talk about what I'll do for you. How often do we do that? Make deals with God. Here's what I want us to realize this morning. You can, when you watch the story of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, have you ever put yourself into the story? Have you ever thought about what those people were feeling and thinking? When we do that, what it does, it enables us for the story to kind of come to life. It enables us to understand it maybe in a new way. And what I want you to realize is I talked about all those emotions, the betrayal, the disappointment, the fear, the jealousy, the cruelty, the cowardice, the confusion, the mockery. We are all guilty of all of those. We don't like to think that way. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is Paul. This is Paul. I mean, he is like the greatest evangelist, missionary of all time. Almost everything we have in the New Testament, we have so many of his letters that tell us about the early church. And this is what he said. He said, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. We've got to be able to say that about ourselves. We've got to be able to realize the emotions, the betrayal, the confusion, the jealousy, the fear. All those things are within us. But here's the good news this morning. And if I stopped right there, I would miss the whole meaning of Easter, right? Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. The life and the death of Jesus, it changes how we live our lives today. And that's the good news this morning. That's the good news of Easter. Because the crucifixion, it's the defining moment that changed everything. So when Jesus defeated death and he rose from the grave, he gave us the opportunity to truly have life. A life defined by hope. A life defined by boldness. A life defined by purpose and forgiveness. And you can just look at the lives of the disciples to see the radical change that took place after they encountered the risen Lord. And they would tell you the same thing. After you encounter the risen Lord, your life will never be the same. Romans 6:4 says this, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And so what new life in Christ, and you hear that phrase, it signifies a new beginning and a radical departure from our past. And we find in the story of the resurrection, we find that's what happens. As people encountered Christ, their lives were radically changed. They didn't leave the same person that they were before. Paul shared how the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, it's the central message of the gospel. Over in 1 Corinthians, we see Paul explaining here the gospel message for us in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, to me also, as to one abnormally born. This what we have here is we have eyewitness accounts of the risen Lord. Paul is saying here, you know, don't believe me, then just go and ask all these other people. He's appeared to more than 500 people. The risen Christ appeared. And he was writing to people who could actually go and find out firsthand from the disciples, from others who had saw Jesus after the resurrection. And this is what really changes their back. I mean, when they stop and think about it, that's the resurrection is so incredible. Let me talk about some of the ways that the resurrection changes how we live today. Some of the ways it changes how we think. Some of the, I would say maybe the implications of the resurrection. the first, what the resurrection really accomplished and what it proves to us. The resurrection proved that Christ was divine. It proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was, in fact, who he said he was, the Son of God. That Jesus was truly divine. Think about this with me for a minute, okay? When he died on the cross, did that prove he was God? Now, anybody could die on the cross. It proved that he was a good man, that he died innocently for things that he didn't do and didn't commit. But it didn't prove he was God. But when he rose from the dead, that gets your attention. When he rose from the dead, all of a sudden we said, wait a minute, this guy was actually who he said he was. Romans 1 is another passage here that helps us. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. And listen to this. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God. He was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, that's an emphatic statement. He is Jesus. He's our Lord. He is God. And so when we read this, we can understand here that Jesus, this proves that he is God, the resurrection. And I want you to think about it. Out of all the major religions of the world, Jesus stands alone as the only one who claimed to be God. Others claimed to be prophets. But Jesus alone claimed that he was God. And so what we see here is the disciples, the very ones closest to him, had a decision to make. Is he who he said he is? You know, can you imagine them just talking around, you know, after he died and he was in the tomb and they were saying, you know, what if all this was a lie? I can imagine them just sitting around. I don't understand. He was supposed to save us. But then after the resurrection, everything changed. After the resurrection, all of a sudden they went, wait a minute. He truly is God. He proved it. And historians are very clear. If you study history, the two things about Jesus that are very clear, even to secular historians who don't believe Jesus was God, they believe two things. One, that Jesus actually existed and that he was crucified. That's a historical fact that you can't argue with. And they also understand, and it's also understood that there was an empty tomb. And so how do we deal with that empty tomb? Because that's what makes Jesus unique. You know, I could look and show you prophetic evidence from the Bible. I could show you the logical evidence, and you could start talking about, man, the disciples? Again, why would they die for something that wasn't true? I mean, we could talk all day long about the eyewitness evidence, about how the real-life evidence of how our lives are changed today. But here's what I want you to understand. The resurrection was a historical event that actually happened. It's not just some fairy tale that we read in Scripture. It changes everything. The resurrection also proved Christ's power to forgive sins. It also proved his power to forgive sins. And what I want you to think about this morning is that when he died and took upon him all of our sin, and he died in our place as our substitute, he took the punishment that we deserved. But then when he rose again, it actually made us right with God. 1 Corinthians 15 says, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. Do you start understanding here why the resurrection is so important? Think about, I mean, by rising from the dead, Jesus proved his authority. He proved his power to break the bonds of sin and to offer forgiveness and eternal life. Romans 4:25 says it pretty clear too. He says he was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. In other words, he was raised to life to make us right with God. To make us right with God. The resurrection also proved Christ's power over death. His power over death. Romans 6:9 says, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. And he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Again, Jesus stands alone in all of history. He was raised from the dead. He defeated death. He conquered death. He never died. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The resurrection, finally, it defeated God's enemy, Satan. From the moment of his original rebellion until the day of the cross, the devil was in this cosmic battle with God. And he was in this battle with God. And when Christ was dead, it appeared that the devil had won. But when Christ broke the chains of death, when he came back to life, he proved that Satan was defeated. And what that does, you know, when we think about that for a minute, because of the resurrection, Christians should never fear Satan or death again. You start talking about implications of the cross and implications of the resurrection. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to go around in fear of what's going to happen when we die. That changes how we live today, doesn't it? It changes how we interact with others. It changes we should be joyful. We should be excited because of the cross. We have life. I mean, it changes everything. Just think with me for a moment. If Jesus is still dead, then Christianity is the meanest, cruelest hoax that ever existed. Jesus would be a despicable person for lying, for claiming to say that he was God, and that not being true. I'm just trying to get your mind to wrap around this. The resurrection actually happened. It's what our faith is based on. It proves that Jesus is God. It proves that he can forgive sin. It proves that Jesus defeated Satan, that we can have eternal life. You know, when we start thinking about it, it really, Jesus does, he changes everything about our lives today. Hebrews chapter 2, it's another passage this morning I wanted to share with you. And as I was studying this week, I just kept finding all these passages and thoughts, and I was trying to pull them together into a message. So I'm kind of jumping all over the place this morning. But what I hope that you get this sense of what the resurrection really means. It says in Hebrews 2, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be. In Christ, you have confidence, you have hope, you have peace in Christ. We know sin doesn't win, that Jesus conquered sin. We know how the story ends. I'm terrible. I don't know. When you're reading a book, especially when you're reading like to your kids or something, parents, y'all ever do this? Do you flip to the back? Okay, go on to bed, kids. And you read the back, and you read the last few pages, and you see how the story ends. Anybody else guilty of that? I'm like, you know, because when I read fast, and I read a lot. But when I'm reading to the kids when they were little and I'd read to them, I would be like, I can't stop here. I'm right in the middle of it. And so I'd have to go and read the end. And then when I come back, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good, guys. Wait till I tell you the story about the frog, you know, or I mean, whatever it was. And I mean, I'd be all excited because I knew how the story ends. We know how the story ends. We know who wins in the end, right? We have nothing to be afraid of. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, it does a couple of things. One, we are saved from eternal death for eternal life. That's, if you're following along, and I didn't mention, but if you're following along, we've got a Cornerstone app that's got our sermon notes in it. You can follow along there. You can go on YouVersion, the Bible app, and track along with us as well. We're kind of high-tech rednecks here sometimes. But you can follow along with us. But if you're following along, Jesus rose from the dead. We are saved from eternal death for eternal life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to God. When we come in this morning, we should just praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, y'all look kind of sad this morning. Can I just be honest with you? We've got something to celebrate. We should be just like bouncing off the walls. Jimmy came in this morning. He was like, I'm ready. Let's go. I mean, give me the water pistol. I'm going, taking on hell right now. I mean, we have something to be excited about because Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection has eternal consequences. It doesn't just affect our life today or tomorrow or what happened last week. It affects our life for all of eternity. We have this choice to make. Will we trust Jesus and follow him? Or are we going to reject him and turn our back on him? And that choice we make is the choice that defines our entire life. Will we be in Christ or will we be against Christ? There's no middle ground. There's no riding sitting on the fence or riding down the middle. No, we've got to choose. What do we do with Jesus? We're saved from eternal death, but we're saved for this life, for this place. He's given us this mission. He's put us here to do his work. We're also empowered to live life in Christ. We're empowered to live life in Christ. This new life of Easter, which we receive in Christ, means that the Holy Spirit is empowering us. I don't want to hear, oh, I can't do that. That's too hard. The same Holy Spirit that was inside, that lived inside the disciples, lives inside of you. Think about that for a minute. The same Holy Spirit that gave them that holy boldness to preach and to proclaim Jesus, that's the same Holy Spirit you have. So no excuses. We are empowered to live for Christ. What I want to do now is in Romans 6. I've been in Romans 6 all week, just reading it. And I went, and sometimes I'll just flip open the Message. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. It's a paraphrase. You read it sometimes, you go, whoa. But when I read Romans 6 in the Message, I just had to share it with you this morning. It was good. Romans 6. And probably just read it on the screen here with me. Just you can follow along on the screen. It says, so what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? You see what he was doing here? He was addressing this. When we start saying, what you mean Jesus died and I'm forgiven of my sin? You mean then I could just keep on sinning? Why do I have to change how I live? And what Paul says is, hey, you're just now starting to understand grace. You're getting a picture of what grace is here. But he addresses their concern. Do you keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? I love this language. Or didn't you realize we packed up and we left there for good? This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life and a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin and miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of the death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Amen. We're given a new way of life. We've left that old place behind. And that's what we celebrate this morning when we celebrate the risen Lord. We've been set free. Everything we know about Jesus came from people who saw a resurrected Savior. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, Paul. They all encountered a risen Lord and they were all changed. Because Jesus changes everything. And so this morning, I mean, I've tried to explain to you a little bit here about what the resurrection means, about what it accomplished in your life. And I don't know, for many of you in here this morning, Easter is a celebration because you are in Christ and you understand the power of the resurrected Lord. You've experienced the risen Lord. You know what it means to walk in Christ. And for you this morning, it is a celebration. You may be struggling with things. You may be here and you may have burdens, but you can celebrate. But there may be some of you who are here this morning, and for whatever reason, you've had your back turned against God. And I just want to ask you, why? In light of the resurrection, why would you not be willing to step across that line of faith? Why would you not be willing to say, Jesus, I believe you. I trust in you. I'm going to give my life to you. Jesus changes everything. And some of you, quite frankly, you need to be changed this morning. You need to leave that old way of life behind. And you need to come into life in Christ this morning. What better day to start a new life in Christ than this morning, Easter Sunday. A day of new beginnings. A day of changed expectations. A day of hope. A day of rejoicing. We're going to have a response time this morning. We're going to do things a little differently. I'm going to explain it first, and then I'm going to have the band come up here in a minute. I want to give you several options for how you can respond this morning. First, I'm going to give you an opportunity for just to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And it's so important. And what salvation is, it's by faith alone. That's our response. It's salvation by faith alone. That we come to Christ in faith, in trust, in belief that He is really who He said He is. And we can give our lives to Him because we can trust Him. To do that, I want to kind of explain it to you. Here's what it takes to put your faith in Christ. Because some of you may be unsure about what that means this morning. First, it means you admit your need to God. And that's what the A in your outline is for. You admit your need to God. In other words, you realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Just as I was reading through those lists of people at the cross. And for many of us, you can relate to each one of those. Betrayal, denial, mockery, frustration, sorrow, suffering, confusion. But first, we've got to realize that we have rebelled against a loving God. And we've believed Satan's lie. And what we've got to do, you know, is we have to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. The gospel is simply that Jesus saves sinners. It's my favorite definition of the gospel. Just Jesus saves sinners. And that encompasses us all. We've all fallen short of God's plan. The second thing is to repent. Ask God to forgive you and help you turn from sin. You see, in the story of the crucifixion, we have an interesting contrast between Judas and Peter. You see, Judas, when he betrayed Jesus, afterwards, you realize that he was sorry about it. He tried to give the money back, but he was just sorry. He didn't really repent. He didn't turn his life around and come back to Christ. This is just my opinion, but I truly believe if Judas would have came back to Christ, he would have been forgiven and been restored. Peter denied Christ 3 times. And yet, he was restored. Why? Because he repented. He came back to Christ. Repentance is just simply that change of direction in your life where you turn your life around and come back to God. The third thing is just to trust. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. Just realize that He came to rescue you. That's what, when we say faith and belief and trust, those words kind of are so interconnected. When we believe, we trust Jesus. We trust. It's not about saying a prayer. And I think sometimes we've turned this into a little, okay, if you do this, then you're saved. No, it's trusting in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then finally, to follow Jesus in faith. You follow him because of what he's done for you. You turn your life around, and a change of heart and a change of desires that occurs when we put our faith in Christ means we have a new life. So John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So that's the first time of response, the first choice. The second thing, we've got communion set up. You may have not done it this way before. We used to do it this way at Cornerstone a lot on Sunday morning. So if you've been around with us for a while, what we've done is when we have a response time, if you want to just come up and take communion together with your family, you can come up here, you can take a piece of the bread, you can dip it in the juice, and then you can eat it. The tradition started in the early church. And believers have done it this way for a long time. And it really symbolizes the shared cup that the disciples had. They had one cup. And, you know, some of y'all probably came in this morning and said, are we all going to drink out of that cup? No. We're going to dip in it, okay? It would be a little more accurate just to pass it around, but I just don't think we could pull that off this morning. So we're going to dip in it this morning, okay? And what communion is, it's a time we're celebrating that Jesus is coming back. We're celebrating that he's coming back. 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord what I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we're proclaiming Christ this morning. We have something to celebrate. Another way you can respond is just by praying. Just to find somewhere, we can kneel where you are. You can come up, find somewhere just kind of off to the side, pray. Another way you can respond this morning is we have index cards by the cross. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to leave something at the cross. A struggle, a burden, a heartache, whatever it is. You can just write out whatever it is and drop it in the basket at the foot of the cross. And you can rest assured that that's where it's going to stay, that Jesus will take care of it. So I'm going to ask the band to come back up this morning as I pray. And then we're going to enter into a time of response this morning. And would you guys pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can celebrate the risen Savior, that we can celebrate the fact that you are no longer in the grave, you are no longer in the tomb, that we can celebrate the fact that you defeated death, you defeated Satan, and you rose from the dead. Because of that fact, we have new life in Christ this morning. I pray for each person here that they would be able to respond in the way that you are leading them to. And whether it's just to go to the cross and pray or write something down or to take communion and to celebrate the fact that you are coming back to receive us, that you are gone to prepare a place for us right now. Lord, I just pray that there is some here this morning that just need to cross over from death to life, that they just simply need to ask you to be their Lord and Savior. That they can just right now, in this time of reflection, in this time of prayer, just to turn to you and admit, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That they could just come to you and realize how far that they have fallen short of your plan for their life. I pray right now that they would also repent and just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Your word tells us that you are faithful and just to, if we confess our sins, that you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, Lord, that we will trust you and follow you. If that's your prayer this morning, I'm just going to give you a time right now just to between you and God, just to talk, to admit, repent, to trust, to follow. this morning could be the start of a new life in Christ for you. You have that opportunity. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done here this morning. We thank you for the word. My prayer is that it will come alive to us in the coming days as we open it, that we can just sense your Holy Spirit in a new and a profound way as we read and study and pray to you. Lord, I thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. This morning, as the band's just going to sing Jesus Paid It All. It may be a little chaotic. There'll be people going different places. That's fine. You just get up as the Lord leads you. You can sing. You can get up. You can pray. You can go to the cross. This is your time between you and God to respond this morning. If you just ask Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, I have one final request, one that you would let us know. You can do that through your response card in the seat back. You can do that through just talking to me. I'll be over to the side. I'll be willing to pray with you and talk with you this morning. But let's just respond right now.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you.
We have so much to be thankful about this morning, so much to celebrate. We'll continue to be up here after the service, but I am going to ask that we're going to just close in a time of celebration. It's Easter morning. I don't want to leave here somber. I want to leave here celebrating the risen Lord. Would you guys stand with us as we close out this morning?
Forever I'm changed by your blood, by your grace, oh God.
You guys have a great day. Spend time with your family and friends, and just enjoy the great weather. Amen.